Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
Hi, Blue Wire listeners. I'm Greg Olson. I'm excited to partner with Blue Wire to bring you TE1, a podcast where I interview the tight ends who have revolutionized the position. Listen in as I have raw, in-depth conversations with the all-time greats like Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez, Travis Kelce, and George Kittle. We'll explore how the tight end position has changed over the last 60 years and what it takes to be the very best. Subscribe to TE1 from Blue Wire Studios today so you're ready for the August premiere.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another week of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man, Andreas Hale. It has been a pretty anticlimactic week when it comes to boxing and MMA, but we found enough to pack together in this show for you guys. UFC 4 has announced their rankings, and it was cool. They did a rollout kind of like Madden did, so we'll talk about who's ranked too high, who's ranked too low, and a couple surprises in the game. We'll also recap last week's card, give our previews for this next one. And in the realm of boxing, DAZN made big moves in their first return. Eddie Hearn went crazy with the pyro in his backyard. Shit felt like WrestleMania, so we have to talk about that as well on the boxing side. But first, Dre, to kick off the show, I feel like your grandmother was the star of our last show.
Yeah, I didn't know so many people would find that humorous about my grandmother beating me with an empty paper bag after hiding in the closet. That's just scratching the surface of who my grandmother was. My grandmother was an asshole. But that's a whole nother show. It's funny that we've got a lot of requests. I don't know if you've seen them too, about us doing podcasts just about our ratchet lives as kids. Yeah, I don't know if y'all would care that much about it, so we'll stick to this show to talk that shit. But yeah, man, getting beaten with an empty paper bag. My grandmother hit me with anything. And again, you have to remember, this is an old, elderly, semi-racist Italian woman. So it was like, I got shoes thrown at me regularly. Like, she never cared if I bled. My grandmother, oh, here's one. When I was 5, I think. I was really young, I can't remember. But it was around the time where I put a towel in my shirt and jumped, made it my cape, and would like jump from my bed to like a chair and think I was Superman. So I would jump and barely clear the area where to land on my bed, right? And my grandmother kept telling me, stop, stop, stop. But I'm a kid, I don't give a fuck. I'm not gonna stop. I'm gonna keep jumping. So I lost my footing, I missed, and I fell, and I cracked my head on the edge of the bed, right? Like, down to, like, the white. I have a dent, like I have a scar on my forehead from this. So I go, and My grandmother's taking a shit. And I walk in to her taking a shit with blood running down my face and crying. My grandmother's also smoking a cigarette while she's taking a shit. And she looks at me.
Multitasking.
Yeah, multitasking. Yo, people who smoke cigarettes will smoke cigarettes anywhere. In a gas station, in a gasoline fire, anywhere. Anywhere they'll smoke. She smokes while she took a shit. So I walked in, blood streaming down my face with a towel hanging out the back of my t-shirt, and like tears and snot. And she looked at me and she didn't even ask me what happened. You know what she did? She burnt me with her cigarette.
Oh, that sounds like some New Japan John Moxley deathmatch type
shit. She didn't say a word to me. I cried. She held the cigarette with her two fingers. You know, you had smokers in the two fingers. Just looked at me and casually leaned the cigarette into my shoulder and burned me. And then just told me to get the fuck out.
You weren't thinking about your head anymore.
No, I sure wasn't. I got burnt with a damn cigarette. I had a hole in my shirt and everything. Went right back to my room, cleaned myself up. And I think my grandmother made me some cereal or some shit after that. But I never jumped off that shit again. I don't think we ever talked about that shit. I think when I got older, I was like, yeah, remember that time I burnt you with a cigarette? And my grandmother would always say shit like, go take a long walk off a short pier. Or my grandmother's favorite thing is, go fuck yourself. That was my grandmother's favorite saying no matter how old I was. She'd always tell me to go fuck myself. So this foul mouth is courtesy of my grandmother.
She sounds like an exquisite lady, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I mean, burning you with a cigarette, you did interrupt her.
She was taking a shit. I just busted in there.
That is a place of solitude. So maybe she didn't appreciate that either. Yeah, you'd be all right. Yes. Old school people never went to the doctor or hospital.
Mm-mm. No.
I got a nail through my foot once. Like, I was walking on some shit I was supposed to be walking on, like, in this construction in the back of someone's house, and then got a nail right up the foot. Whew. Threw the sneaker into my foot. My friend stepped on the board. I pulled my foot out. So I'm leaking blood. You get me home. My grandma's just like, you'll be all right. And she just gets this big-ass bucket of, like, iodine. So she first pours, like, half a bottle of alcohol on my foot and then just sticks my foot in iodine. I was like, don't need a shot or anything for that. She's like, nah, you're fine.
Yeah.
So, lo and behold, fuck it, I was fine.
Old people don't care.
No, they don't. It's a whole different world for them. So I understand. My grandma's getting to the point where she's crazy and old. I mean, you saw her at my wedding. She's very fast and agile for her age. So, like, she's sneaky fast, though. So she has her little cane and all that shit. But she chases iguanas in her backyard in Puerto Rico because they eat the fruit that she grows, and she'll cut them in half with machetes.
That is a visual I was not anticipating.
She's like fucking Yoda. Like, you know what Yoda's like limping around, and then he gets a lightsaber and he starts doing flips and shit? That is her with the machete. I was like, how do you catch an iguana? This I don't comprehend. Like, I'm pretty agile my damn self. I'm not catching a wild animal. They're fast. Nope, catches them, cuts them right in half, then just tosses them. Yeah, see, it's fucking nuts. So I understand when you say your grandma's like, you can still be agile at that age. I can see her hiding in a closet, creeping up on you. You can still hand out ass whoopings. Certain things old people never, never lose track of. The jump shot and the ability to whoop your ass.
Yeah, the jump shot is key. There's so many old people, it's like, fuck dribbling. I'll just knock down this jumper from anywhere.
Easy. Money. I tell you, I got buckets dropped on me by the old heads for way too many years. I was at the NBA Finals once, and they have, like, this cool media, like, NBA executives-type game in between finals games. So it's just pickup, and they run full, and it's, like, first to eight. And I remember there was this executive from the league offices, but I forgot what he did, and he was a smooth like 60, and lo and behold, this motherfucker was like dead nice and one of the top 50 college scorers of all time, but you'd never know. And you're just dropping buckets. The games were 9, he was scoring 7. To the point he played no defense, but he was wet from wherever. I was like, I ain't fucking with these people. So jump shots and ass whoopings old people can hand out regularly. So I don't mess with that. You've seen the boxing old guy, right? Gets in there, knocks the young dude out. I feel like that's every old guy.
Pretty much.
Never lose the hand. So your grandma, she was just, you know, she was a little bit ahead of her time. The cigarette burn is one hell of a move.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. I flinch. I flinch for like the next 5 years when she smoke a cigarette. I just like flinch. I'm like, come on, man, get that shit right.
You just never know. Never That's know. Good. She kept you on edge.
Yeah.
You have to keep your wits about you. That's
yeah.
That's parenting at a different level. So yeah, look at that. You turned out fine. Your grandma did something right. Someone who didn't turn out fine, who might need wisdom from someone like your grandmother right now, Kanye West.
Might need an ass whooping.
He definitely needs an ass whooping. An old person, old fashioned ass whooping. Because now reports are coming out, it's all over our timelines, it's everywhere, that lo and behold, this presidential run is a hoax. Right? It's to take away votes from Joe Biden, the black vote, to split the black vote and propel Trump to another victory, his boy Trump. Like, we didn't see this shit from a mile away anyway. But that has me asking the question, how dumb do they think black people are?
Well, see, God, I'm so tired of talking. Yeah, do that.
Yeah, I gotta crack the claw for this.
I'm so tired of talking about Trump and Kanye on this goddamn show. Like, I can't wait for this to end. The thing about Kanye is he's weaponizing his celebrity, right? Like, he's taking his celebrity, he's turning it into a weapon, where his goal is to get his buddy reelected. Now, the problem with this is, like, the plan is to take away votes from Biden. And I wouldn't necessarily say that it's just the black vote. There's a lot of white kids who love them some Kanye West.
True.
So it's a generational vote that he's after, of people who don't care about elections but idol worship Kanye West. And the complicated thing about this is, well, how many of them were voting for Biden anyway? Is
there
what I wonder. Like, I don't know how many people that would run out because, I mean, shit, he may get a few votes here and there, but people who weren't voting anyway would vote for Kanye, but that means he's not really taking a vote away from Biden or Trump. It's just some people they're going to weaponize and bring him out there to write in. Could it be a few votes that where people were like, I got pressured to go to the ballot because I need to, and I don't know who I'm voting for, so I'm going to vote for Biden because I know not to vote for Trump. But if Kanye's name shows up, I'll probably vote for him instead. Do those people exist? Yeah. But, dude, Kanye's an idiot. I keep saying this, man, like, week after week. Like, just because you made some great music doesn't mean that you can be a politician. And the equivalency is, just because you fixed the carburetor on my car doesn't mean I want you to perform an open heart surgery on me. They're not mutually exclusive. They're not the same thing. There are no parallels here. Being creative doesn't make you intelligent. There are distinctly different things. Perfect example. Floyd Mayweather. Brilliant in the ring. Absolutely brilliant. But do I trust Floyd Mayweather to teach a college course on biology? No, never. Absolutely not.
I'd pay money to watch him read the textbook.
I knew that was coming. I tried to stray away from the reading thing. I really tried to stray away from it. But, dude, the man's an artist in a boxing ring. But that doesn't qualify him to be an artist anywhere else. I don't know if Floyd Mayweather can draw a stick figure. I wouldn't trust him to recreate a Picasso just because he painted beautiful art in a boxing ring. Kanye West making great music does not mean he can run a country. Or attempt to run a country. This has become a celebrity contest, and it's bullshit.
No, but you look at the guy in office currently,
dude.
And 5 years ago, we would have said the same.
No, and while true, that's based on the society that we live in, that idol worships celebrities. Like, celebrities get the most attention; they always have. But and now they think they can run for like political office. But at least I keep saying this: at least with Trump. And it's funny because people will say things like, well, Trump's gone bankrupt 5 times. Look, listen, guys, I've said this before. Filing bankruptcy is not bad. Filing bankruptcy basically says, I ran up all these bills that I don't feel like paying for anymore. That's really what bankruptcy is. And now I got so much money that, yeah, I can go in the hole for 7 years because I don't need credit. I'll buy everything cash. Like Trump, yes, he has failed businesses, but a lot of people have failed businesses. Remember, mm-hmm. like, Rockbox with Damon Dash? Like, that shit didn't work out very well. They don't, but he still knows how to run a business at least. At least he still has Trump Towers. This, yes, he got his money from his dad, tried to sue him on his deathbed, which is a whole other fucking story in itself. But Trump has some kind of knowledge when it comes to business. Kanye has knowledge when it comes to making a beat and not even rapping lyrics. There is no less qualified person to run a country than Kanye West. Like, Trump was the floor. Kanye's the basement. Like, that shit is ridiculous. There's no way this man should be even trying to run for anything. It's ridiculous.
But then there's the people who would vote for him. So there's a whole different level of... There's people who follow Trump to the end of the earth, you know? So you see this all the time. They don't worry me. The people who blindly follow them worry me.
Yes. The people who voted for Trump are scarier than Trump.
Yep. And they're out in droves. But again, these figureheads empower those people.
Yeah. I mean, you have to, like, all right. Historically, you look at Hitler, Charles Manson. They had a certain appeal about them to become cult figures, right? And they created a legion of people who followed them. Right, and as much as they were wrong, you have to question the people who followed them blindly to their own demise. In Trump's case, people wanted something different. I say it all the time. Like, it's always a radical shift in this country. You got a black president. It was like, what's the worst thing you can get after that? This motherfucker. So these people voted for him. Some people did it because they just wanted something different. They really hated Hillary Clinton. But a lot of people just voted because they were stupid. They just looked at him and was like, oh, I've seen him on Celebrity Apprentice. I'm going to vote for him.
Yep.
And it's like, dude, here we are. Like, if anybody watched this recent Trump interview where this man refused to give John Lewis any credit because he didn't attend his inauguration, that's like the ridiculous amount of ego that it takes to do that. This coming from the same guy who said that there were good people on both sides of white nationalists and protesters, refused to acknowledge that John Lewis did anything, and then followed it with, I've done more for black people. That's ego. Some people love that shit, though. And they vote for ego.
Listen, it is. I'm telling you this, Lil Wayne's a great rapper, but it wasn't until he said, I'm the best rapper alive, that people are like, oh, this motherfucker could be the best rapper alive. Like, when you tell someone something and you speak it into existence, there's a large group of people who will just believe you and follow it. So, and go to bat for that shit.
Nobody likes to read.
Like, no one reads anymore.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. But the fact that there were so many people that were in my mentions and other people's mentions that agreed with Kanye West's Harriet Tubman bullshit is troubling.
Oh, yeah. With no... And I get it. Some people... I've heard a lot of people talk on it. They're like, oh, well, she was part of the union thing. Like, oh, okay, so she escaped and wanted to have a fucking career. Like, okay, so she wanted to help free other slaves. Whatever it may be. They're like, so she was feeding... you know, slaves to just a different man. I'm like, you're dumb.
Dog, that didn't fucking happen.
Like, yeah, I'm like, you're now making inferences and trying to fill gaps in history with no knowledge of what occurred during those gaps.
God, that gives me a headache.
So people, and people will fill those gaps with a bunch of nonsense if you let them. And this is the barbershop mentality, right? Like, and it's funny, every time I go to a barbershop, which is rare now, but if I go into a barbershop and there's always a sports conversation, obviously. I never tell someone that I'm a journalist or a sports journalist because I would get a million dumb fucking questions. I've done it twice. And they're like, oh, rare? And then I'll be like, yeah, I cover boxing. And they're just like, oh, well, you know, Floyd Mayweather's the greatest of all time and he does it. And I'm just like, yo, But the stats they throw out to support their argument, I won't tell them that they're wrong. But I just listen to people bold-faced lie. But other people in the barbershop have no clue that these stats are wrong. Or bold-faced lies. And I'm just there laughing inside. Because people will say these lies with such confidence. To the point of, I think they made it up and then forgot they made it up. And take it as though it's truth.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing I see with this. Like the Trump stuff and the Kanye, Harriet Tubman line. People will be like, yo, no, this is what happened. Like, okay, where'd you read this? Give me three sources that say that. Oh, no, but it's not in the history books, my brother. This is what they don't want you to know.
Yo, that's like my favorite. My favorite.
Like, I love those guys.
My favorite is people who can't cite a source to save their fucking life and tell you where shit is hidden. Like, those are my favorite people. Yo, man, there's these lost books that they don't want you to find. Motherfucker, you ain't found them. What are you talking about? Like, how you gonna tell me about something that you haven't found? How you gonna tell me that something exists that you never even heard of because you saw it on a YouTube video? Man, listen.
Those people are hilarious.
The best part of my career is that I've walked around with like a lot of things that people don't know about entertainment, sports. Like, I've forged relationships with people and I've never told some of the shit that I know. Never. Never shared it because I'm not that type of person. But it's always great to go into a barbershop and listen to people tell you things. And it, like, they tell you with so much confidence that they're true. Well, you know, such and such did this because of this and this and this. And I always say, like, you never know who you're in the room with. And you never know, like, you're telling me, like, be sure of your facts. And I just listen to people say shit, and I'm like, that didn't happen. And I, every so often, I'll tell people, like, that shit didn't happen. And they'll be like, how do you know? And then sometimes I have to pull rank. Or there's been many times where I've been in a barbershop, and, like, one of my boys, he knows what I do. Like, this one thing about Vegas, it's like, Vegas people don't give a shit about me. So, but there's some people who know what I do. And I, you know, one of my boys cuts my hair, well, my beard, and I'm listening to people talk about boxing. And I can't remember what the subject was, but they were, like, so sure about certain things. And I looked at him, and I was just like, that shit ain't gonna happen. And he was like, yeah, I know. He was like, but just listen, let him go. And I just let him talk. Then I started asking questions. I was like, yo, how do you know that? And it was like some Floyd Mayweather shit. Well, Floyd told me. I was like, nope. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen, bro. That didn't happen. Time. But this is like the Kanye West thing. You assume people don't know shit, so you spew your conspiracy theories that are based on nothing. The Harriet Tubman thing is Kanye, something that Kanye probably heard from somebody else who didn't know shit, but it sounded so good he thought he'd share it. Mm-hmm. And he's sharing it, and then he gets lit up for it, and he was like, no. But come on, man. Like, the concept was like, because here's a train of thought. This is the train, and it's very low on coal and fuel, so it doesn't get very far. The train basically says, well, yeah, Harriet Tubman had this underground railroad that freed the slaves. And then the question is, well, where did the slaves go after that? Now, some slaves, yes, they went back to being slaves because they couldn't make a living because there was nowhere to go. There was no infrastructure created for black people to go and immediately make an income and a living and find a place to live once they were free. Now, some traveled north and did, but some did not. But to the dumbasses, they go, well, that bitch just, she just led them to the white man. Like, where did you get this? How did you get this? Because this is what they think. They was like, well, they were slaves. That's Harriet Tubman's fault. That's not how this shit worked. It's not how this shit worked. So, yes, nah, you listen to Kanye. Listen to Trump, who gets banned from Twitter, like, it's because he's spewing fallacies. And then people are just like, well, he's got a point. No, he doesn't. He's wrong. So, yeah, here we go. Kanye West is trying to get written under balance to take away the vote from Joe Biden. This shit ain't going to work. It's just going to look really stupid. I can't
stand. Oh, definitely. Yeah, I don't think the people who rush out there are necessarily the ones that were going to vote anyway. So I think you're 100% right on that. They're the ones who buy a $100 fucking fleece hoodie that has three letters on it that he sells at his concerts.
Yeah.
Well, like, and they're probably $300. I might be lowballing that.
I've had enough, Kanye, please.
Yeah, those are those people. Now, funny enough, like, and we'll go on to your next favorite guy, Jason Whitlock, in a second. But yeah, it's not slowing down. But I have friends, and I remember in like 2016, and there's like longstanding friends, and it's two of them, and I think I remember in like 2016, they were like, oh yeah, I'm going to vote for Trump, or yeah, Trump, and they're just Republicans, right? So, cool, whatever. They are like, you know, served in military, pro-gun, all this shit. Mind you, they are not white. They are, I believe, one generation removed from immigrant families. But, whatever. So, they're like, yeah, I'm voting for Trump. I like some of the stuff. So, he, you know, he did sell, you know, gun owners kind of a story that they can believe in, that they'd have more rights and blah, blah, blah. So, whatever. So, they were heavy into Trump. And I was like, yo, you really voted for him? I thought it was stupid then. But they really didn't know much outside of like 2 points on why they were voting for him. But it was funny because the other day, I see a message on like their Facebook or a post on their Facebook where there's was like, you have to watch this immigration documentary on Netflix. Oh my God, I can't believe that this is happening. It brought tears to my eyes. They're ripping people from families and all this shit. And this is like the Mexican half of my of the friends, so of the two. And I'm just like, you didn't think that this was happening? And how do you feel knowing your vote effectively did this? Because you see all these people get sent back to Mexico's hardworking dads, all this shit, kids crying. And it's like, that was the build the wall Trump that you voted for. But you would never know. I don't think they've mentioned it again in 2 years. And you would never know that this same person had voted for Trump. And I feel like we're going to get a rush of these people who are disassociating themselves from past votes for Trump. Because that shit just, over my, I was like, yo, you were just pushing his narrative 2 years ago. But you see this and you act like it didn't, you didn't know it was happening. And they're Mexican. It's like, you got family in Mexico. And then I remember thinking of a conversation we had on the show where it was like, you know, I'm not the good blacks. You know, I'm not one of the good blacks, quote unquote. Right? It's like, no, like I'm here, I'm about the shit. It's like, I'm not your black friend that you can be, oh, that's my black friend. No, I'm not that guy. But it was funny because I laughed. I was like, they probably, and listen, Mexican, but have tons of money. Their family owns a company, huge, like always spoiled, rich, cool. But I started laughing. I was like, I think they really thought they were one of the good Mexicans.
Yeah.
And this now opened their eyes to, holy shit, this is happening. Yeah. And just had no clue. And that's the people he preys on. That's the people Kanye preys on. And all it took was a Google search. All it took was reading a book to know what his stance on immigration would do. And it took a Netflix documentary, because people don't read, to open their eyes.
Yeah. It's, well, this incredible. Is why, you know, I think it's really, like, I'm very much into media because I spent a majority, well, my entire childhood, like, in front of a TV and reading books. It's just the way that I grew up, you know, aside from being out on the streets and being a young savage. But that was, the vast majority of my life was in front of TV. And I was introduced to Garvey and Malcolm and Martin through like Boogie Down Productions and Chuck D. And, you know, cinema made me interested. Like I said, I've mentioned on the show before, like I wanted to go to Morehouse because of Outkast and Trey from Boys in the Hood. That's what got me into it. Like, I was like, what's that? They got colleges for black people? You know, it's before the internet. Like, I know some of you listen, never like didn't live your life without the internet, but this is before the internet. I had no clue. What I watched on TV came on at a certain time. There was no TiVo. There's no streaming services. I had no clue. So media was really important to how I grew up. So I take a very hard stance on where I am in media and why I push the messages I push, because I think representation is important. And being able to inform through media with some kind of entertainment is the way to kind of turn the light bulb on for some people and make them want to learn more. Because if they're not exposed to it, they have no idea. So when we talk about people who voted for Trump or they thought they were the good Mexican, they see these documentaries. These documentaries need to exist because people don't read. And maybe it'll give them the opportunity to say, you know what? I should pick up a book. Because I feel like a complete dumbass for voting for Trump. Because you can fix yourself. Shit, Malcolm went to jail. He was a pimp. And look how he came out. You could rehab in your image and figure it out. But I think media is so important into introducing things to people that makes you want to learn more. Because it's only like half the step. Like, I could talk about all kinds of stuff on this podcast. Maybe there's some people listening to this show right now that didn't know or even think about when Tubman freed the slaves, where they're going. Why did some of them go back to being slaves? And maybe some of you will go, you know what? I want to verify what Andrea says because I don't want any of you taking my word for it. I want you to go and be like, maybe I should read about that and figure it out. So a lot of people vote based on passion and religion and things that matter to them. A lot of people don't vote on things that matter to other people. It's why the rich stay rich and the poor stay poor. Rich people, once you get rich, especially when you look at black people who become rich or people who came from poverty who became rich, a lot of them don't look back because it's against their financial interest. So for some, it's like, well, I'm just voting for me. And they look at the shit and then they see it happen to other people, because that's like the real thing. That's why when I talk about race on this show and I talk about telling our stories, because a lot of people don't even understand our story. They don't even think it exists. All they do is watch a few hood flicks and listen to some rap music and think they know about us. But they don't, like, when I ask the questions, like, when we met racism, there were so many white people just like, I had no idea. Well, now you do. And now that you do, what are you going to do about it? So when it comes to voter education and when it comes to this election and when it comes to Kanye West, don't take my word for it. Take what I say as a challenge for you to educate yourself, because you don't want to be the dummy in the room. There's nothing worse than being the village idiot. Don't be the village idiot.
Don't be the dummy in the barbershop.
No, man. Don't be that jackass.
There's a lot of them. There's a whole lot of them. Don't be the dummy in the internet. Jason Whitlock. So he comes out with this article for people who didn't see it across their timeline.
This is your fault. You shared it in our group chat. I wouldn't have seen this. Thanks a lot, Kel.
It's fucking ridiculous. So he's talking about the Black Lives Matter movement, in particular to kind of how it affects what's going on in the NBA. And then that sets him off on this tangent where he begins comparing the Black Lives Matter movement to the KKK and saying that it's like, I forgot the exact quote, what, like the sister?
Yes.
Of the KKK. And this whole long ass post was rambling about how black people are the ones actually holding back black people, and how dare they. At one point, it goes into like, you empowered the N-word.
Yes.
So, like, don't get mad at white people for doing this, or stop searching for white people to justify you. Black people, we have to justify ourselves. As though, if we just said, you know what? Yeah, black people, go ahead. You have equality. We all wake up tomorrow and be like, you know what? We're equal. That it's all just going to go away. As though there's no infrastructures in place from others that make that a reality that we don't have. Nope, it's all our fault, he says. And we empower the white person to hold us down, or minorities in general empower the white people from holding us down, and Black Lives Matter is only pushing them further away. It's pushing us away from equality. Don't speak up. Just say tomorrow to yourself, not to anyone else, that we are equal, and keep your mouth shut, and it'll happen.
Well, alright, so here's what I'll say. Because I try, I really do, guys. I really do. I try to see the other side of the argument. And Whitlock's position starts with taking accountability for your own actions, right? And to me, this is the Bill Cosby pound cake argument, where Bill Cosby blames the black kid for stealing pound cake, and that's why he got shot. When nobody asks, why did he have to steal pound cake in the first place? Because he was hungry. Well, why is he hungry? Because he's poor and impoverished. Why are black people poor and impoverished in America? Nobody answers that particular question. Instead, they go right to the root of the issue. They go to this issue, not the root of it, the surface of it, and they blame that. And he says, take accountability for your actions. And the position he uses is, wow, I can't think of it right now, what college it was, where the coach admonished one of his players for using the N-word, and he used the N-word to tell him, like, don't say the N-word.
And Clemson.
Was it Clemson? Mm. You said it was Clemson? Okay.
Yep.
So the players got upset because he used the N-word and didn't come to practice and protested, right? Now, I am not on that side, right? When Whitlock brings that point up, I was like, well, yeah, protesting, if that's how it went down, yeah, I can see a point in saying, why are you mad at this coach and shit, right? Like, he's telling you not to use it in his locker room. He's the coach. Maybe there's some merit here. This is a little bit more than a black and white argument, right? Mm-hmm. I can see where somebody would say, yeah, don't be mad at the coach. I can see that argument. You can make a valid argument. I'd be like, all right, I can see that, right? I may not agree with it, but I can see that. But then it spirals into his agenda, and that's what he uses. Because I've said on this show, the reason why I don't use the N-word is because of this particular confusion. Because these idiots like Whitlock, now I'm not even calling him an idiot, because Whitlock is actually a very intelligent guy who has learned how to manufacture arguments to profit off of black pain. He's not dumb like Kanye. Like, no. Candace Owens isn't an idiot. She can make a compelling argument to a base of idiots. She knows how to do that. Jason Whitlock kind of does the same. He's not an idiot. Like, I don't know if Kanye can complete a sentence if he wrote it, but Jason Whitlock, he can write an article that can be very persuasive. And I'm reading this article, and then he starts blaming black people, and he starts talking about George Floyd being responsible for what happened to him. It's the pound cake argument. No, no. George Floyd, in the recent video that came out, was pleading with the cops. And I can understand this argument if it didn't go the other way, where we see white people, like, chase cops with guns. We see white people, yep, do all this shit and nothing happens to them, but yet George Floyd is the one to blame, right? No, that's not how this shit works. You have to look at the system, and the system is fucked up. But when Whitlock goes out of his fucking mouth to say Black Lives Matter is a sister organization of the KKK, one, the KKK was an organization basically to eradicate African Americans and minorities in general. Black Lives Matter is not here to eradicate or eliminate any other race. It's to preserve our own who are dying at the hands of law enforcement. These are two wildly different groups. Black Lives Matter also doesn't really have a face. There's not an outfit for Black Lives Matter. Yes, we wear t-shirts with a slogan, but we don't wear a hood and burn crosses on people's lawns. To make this argument is ridiculous. But alas, this is what Whitlock did, and there were people that agreed with him, which is nuts. But all that to say, it's like, man, he's more dangerous to black people than a lot of white nationalists, because he's a sheep in sheep's clothing who thinks he's a wolf. He's a coward. He is a coward. And y'all know, I'll say it to his face.
It almost came to that. You're a Fury Wilder.
Yeah.
And he's going to pop up somewhere again. And I'm just going to be like, yo, my brother, you know you're wrong. Like, I just want to look him in the face and be like, yo, man, I'm just letting you know. I said it was on site. But at this point, I can't lose my job off of punch you in the face. But you got to know that you out here like Uncle Ruckus. Like, I just want you to know this. Like, look me in my eyes. And I want to let you know you fucked up. And that's it. I want to see what he says. Because to me, it's not a gimmick. People point to me at his old stuff when he was writing for the Kansas City Star. And he was on this same shit. So at this point, you are really Uncle Ruckus. Where you just completely forgot, or you just never knew, that you are part of us. You're not black, you're OJ. And that's a problem. And that's where he writes from. He writes from that core.
I believe that, you know, black people can have differing opinions, and it's okay. Like, we can't be a monolith. I can't tell everybody how to think. I can't tell everybody how to vote. I can't say that you can't be a black Republican. I can't say anything. I can't say any of those things. I would like you to be one way, but you're not. But when I look at Jason Whitlock, and I look at people like him, who profit from the pain of black people, where the only thing that you can talk about is against your own people, you're an agent. You're fed. You're a coward. Because if you're not good enough, like for me, yes, I talk about diversity and race, but I'm good at what I do. right? Like, if you put me in here to write about, like, to be an editor and do my job, I'm good at it. If you put me to write about the sports that I've covered and the music that I've covered, I'm good at it. You remove that aspect from me, I am good at my job. Is Whitlock not good enough at his job to do it? Where he, the only thing that we can, that we regularly talk about, not just here, but on social media in general, is the inflammatory remarks he makes about black people. That's the only thing he has. That's his calling card against his own people. Does he doesn't see this? No, he sees it because he's making money off of it. Candace Owens is making money off of this stuff. It doesn't pay to be, you know, contrarian for contrarian's sake is what he's become. And now he just believes that shit. He's living it. He's a disgusting individual. Fuck him.
And you can always go to the well. That's what he's noticed. You can always go back to the well. Like, oh, I got a new site to launch, or, oh, I'm writing for somewhere else. Let me just dip back into this, because I know it's going to trigger people.
Yeah.
And it's a damn shame, man. It's all he has. So, all right. Now that I've effectively bummed us out by talking about Jason Whitlock, and still, if there's journalism, boxing, or people are pairing together, I'll take a shot at Whitlock. If we throw the headgear on and the gloves, I'm knocking him out through the headgear. No way he gets busy in the ring. So if people are really setting that up, shit, there's wilder stuff. We're about to talk about exhibitions and Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. coming back. So one day, for a charity, there might be journalism boxing. And I'm letting you know, Dre, don't worry about it. I got this. Knocking his big ass out.
All right.
Put that on wax. Now, let's take a quick break, hit up some of these ads. When we come back, we have to talk UFC before we talk about boxing. And UFC 4, the video game, has come out. Everyone who listens to the show knows that we're video game nerds. So we're going to take a look at some of the rankings, who's ranked too high, who's ranked too low, and then we'll dive into this weekend's card. The Black Beast is headlining. Always good to see Derek Lewis back on television. So we'll get into that, make our predictions. You guys stay right there. We'll be right back. All right, we'll get back to the show in a second. But first, have you heard of DealDash.com? It's the best, most honest bidding site where you can win things you'd never expect at a price you'd never believe. They have over 1,000 auctions every day on electronics, appliances, beauty products, home decor, and even cars. You know, you gotta keep the whip fresh, and there's no better time to spend after the pandemic than rolling around, showing off a new whip. So here's how it works. It's like an auction, but every item starts at $0 and only goes up 1 cent every time you bid. The kicker is that the auction clock restarts after just 10 seconds. That means every time you bid, everyone else has 10 seconds to answer on the item. If they don't, then it's yours.
So if you go ahead and buy now, DealDash is offering our listeners an extra 100 free bids upon sign-up. Go to DealDash.com and use the offer code CORNER or DealDash.fm CORNER. That's DealDash.fm/corner.
All right, just that quick, we are back. And as promised, time to dive into combat sports. And we are starting with the UFC and with the video game. UFC 4 is almost on its way, a couple weeks out. They dropped the rankings, similar to how Madden does, before the game comes out. And I have the top 20 here for you, Dre. I'm going to go down from 20 through 1, and then we'll talk about it. First, at number 20, surprising, Conor McGregor.
Isn't that number surprising? 20. Is that surprising?
It is. We'll talk about that in a second. Conor McGregor's 20? And then 19, we have Jan. 18, Gaethje. 17, Rose Namajunas. 16, Daniel Cormier. 15, TJ Dillashaw. 14, Jorge Masvidal. 13, Max Holloway. 12, Volkanovski. 11, Demetrius Johnson. He's not even in the UFC, but whatever. 10, Usman. 9, St. Pierre. 8, Miocic. 7, Zhang. 6, Adesanya. 5, Cejudo. 4, Shevchenko. 3, Khabib. 2, John Jones. 1, Amanda Nunes. That is 20 through 1 real quick. Now, how is Conor McGregor only number 20?
How high should he be?
He should be ahead of TJ Dillashaw.
I'll agree with that.
I would say Dillashaw shouldn't be on this list. He's been suspended for 2 years.
Yeah, but they're not. I think they're trying to take the entire career because Demetrius Johnson shouldn't be on here, but he's still licensed in the game. So that's why he's.
That's fair, but even then, you have to question when was he not on the juice?
Well, I mean, you can't really.
So I got to take ratings away for that.
It's hard to do because, you know, we say the same thing about, you know, Canelo or. I mean, not Canelo. Well, yeah, Canelo, shit, because he got popped twice. But you say the same thing.
The Mexican meat.
Yeah, Mexican meat. But we say the same thing about a lot of fighters, like Pacquiao. Like, well, yep. Was he juicing? Was he not? So unless it's proven, you can't really take away from it. Same with Barry Bonds.
I mean, this is proven. Like, well, he was juicing at one point.
Yes, but and that was against Cejudo. He ended up getting knocked out. I agree so that Dillashaw should not be in the top 20. I agree that Conor should be higher than Dillashaw. I'll even say Conor should be higher than Masvidal.
Yep.
And some people disagree with that. But I've gone back and said this a billion times because where I see Masvidal on this list at 14, who lost to Usman, and we're taking the entirety of his career, and the name that I don't see Tony Ferguson on here.
No, Ferguson should be in the top 20. You're absolutely correct on that. Daniel Cormier being at 16 is egregious.
Daniel Cormier being, this is the one that bothers me. Cormier, yes, he got stopped by Miocic. Yes, he's lost to John Jones. You know who else Daniel Cormier has lost to? Nobody.
No. And that's two divisions.
Yeah, I can't. This is bizarre to have him this.
And long. He's 1-1 with Stipe. So it's not like, okay, cool, he got stopped by Stipe. But he's also stopped Stipe.
Yes.
So they should be neck and neck, if anything. In which I would put Cormier ahead of Stipe because he's been champion in a whole nother division.
Yeah. So
if Stipe's at 8, DC is at 6 for me. So if you want to put him behind, I don't put him behind Shevchenko. So I would go Khabib at 3, Cormier at 4, Shevchenko, then Cejudo. Adesanya is great and his skills are incredible. But at 6, ahead of Daniel Cormier for going off of records and the total career package, Adesanya is not above Cormier.
I would leave Valentina at number 4, and here's why. Because the gap between Valentina and the rest of that division is the biggest gap in talent in any division in the UFC.
Ooh, bigger than John and the rest?
Yes. John just had a competitive fight with Dominic Reyes. That was competitive.
Okay. Yeah.
Shevchenko has not had a competitive fight at all.
Outside of Amanda.
And that's the only person she lost to. Yeah, and barely lost him. So I'll give her number 4 because this is like a combination of where they fight, when they fought, and they're at career accolades. And it's going to, because I don't know if I told you guys this, but I was in the private EA sessions early when we revealed the game to us, and I did this whole piece on Sporting News about it. So these ratings are going to change after every pay-per-view. Cormier is going to be an advisor. They have a team that looks at the fights, and they'll move the rankings around. So this is not firm. I guarantee you, by the time this game comes out, which is right around Stipe versus DC, the result of that fight is going to drastically change where Stipe and DC go on this rankings list. So things will change, but the top 4 I have no problem with at all.
Top four is cool.
Like, Nunez deserves to be number 1. She absolutely deserves it. She has annihilated 2 divisions. John has had a tougher time recently, which is why I don't have a problem putting... Like, Nunez has been untouchable.
Yeah, she's beaten every champion possible. Yeah. Like, outside of going to champions from, you know, 115, she's the GOAT.
She's obliterating people. And Khabib at number 3... is really due more to activity and level of competition than anything else. He's been dominant, but he hasn't fought a ton of people. When he fights Gaethje, we'll get a better read on where Khabib is. But number 3 is totally fine because he's been absolutely dominant. Shevchenko, agreed. I already mentioned. Biggest gap. Cejudo at 5. I'm not necessarily going to argue with this because this man has won titles in 2 divisions.
Yep. Dominant.
I'm not going to argue with this.
Dominant wins.
Yeah. Adesanya at 6. I'm not upset with this because of the current run that he's on. The current run that he's on, he beat Yoel Romero. He beat Robert Whittaker. He beat Kelvin Gastelum. And he's about to fight Borrachina. So until he fights Borrachina, I'm kind of fine with this. Weili Zhang hasn't fought enough people. The Joanna fight, incredible. But this is fine.
Yeah.
Stipe.
I think Stipe's ahead of both of them.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because Stipe did lose to DC. So the gap
between... He's arguably the greatest heavyweight of all time.
The gap between the two, I think this is why that they're at where they're at, and I think it'll change depending on the outcome of their fight. Because the gap
Agreed.
In their division is really between them two. If you look at the top fighters on this list, you won't find another person in their division until much further down.
Now, I would put Connor right behind Stipe at 9.
I wouldn't put him that high.
Yeah, so Connor's ahead of Usman.
I wouldn't put Connor.
So GSP is the legends category, so cool. GSP is 9. Connor would be 10.
Yeah, I just in a what have you done for me lately scenario, it's hard. Again, I as much as I think Connor has been incredible, it's hard to...
He won lately, and then he lost to the number 3 guy on the list.
But again, it's like, all right, he beat Donald Cerrone. So he got beat by Khabib, which everybody does. We don't really know who Connor is. We really don't. Because he had a hard time with Nate Diaz, who's nowhere near this list. And Masvidal beat Diaz. And was hurting
him. Okay, but he beat him. He was. I mean, and Connor dropped him 3 times.
Yeah, I know. But Masvidal was on his way to stopping Diaz in that fight.
Correct, because the guy's... You know, of a good size.
Yeah,
was going up to 170 for the first time. So, yeah, it's a 3-division jump from where he was originally champion. Not everyone could do that.
No, but I'm not going to give him credit for having a hard time with a journeyman. I'm not. Nate Diaz is a journeyman.
I will when it's three divisions
up. I'm not.
2 divisions higher than where you fight.
I'm not. You took the fight. It's on you. Dare to be great. I appreciate it. I think it's excellent. But... this also asks, like, what division is Connor fighting in? So I think Connor should be higher in this list. Do you think Connor should be higher than Gaethje?
Yes. I think Connor is higher than Gaethje. I think, even though it's hard to say with this Tony Ferguson win, but I put Connor above Gaethje. You look at Gaethje's, his last loss was Poirier. His 2 losses in the UFC. Or to 2 people, Connor knocked out.
Fair. But in what have you done for me lately, society? Do you think...
Okay, but Connor knocked him out.
Do you think... do you think Connor beats Justin Gaethje now?
I'm not sure if Khabib beats Justin Gaethje. He's a horrible style matchup for a lot of people. I'm not positive Connor beats him. I think Connor stands a good chance of knocking him out. Yeah, but Connor also stands a good chance of getting steamrolled by him.
Yeah.
So... but no, I think Connor could knock him out, yeah. I mean, Gaethje has been knocked out. He's been rocked a lot. So it's a matter of what can you do to actually get the ref to stop it, because I'm not sure Gaethje's just going to be flat out. You know, like, I think it could play out similar to the Eddie Alvarez situation, though, where he drops Gaethje like 3 or 4 times, because Justin Gaethje's an animal. He's just going to walk forward.
Like,
The leg kicks would be the difference.
I guess, so my only argument against... My only argument for Connor on this list is the what have you done for me lately. He lost to Khabib, and he beat Donald Cerrone. He hasn't beaten anybody, like, worth noting in a while.
In a while, but he has wins over Max Holloway.
Yeah, well, shit.
Like, so, I mean, how long ago was that? It was a long time ago.
I can't give him credit.
But a win is a win.
Yeah, but I...
What?
But
can't take... You can't just erase something from someone's resume.
No, I'm not erasing it, but what I'm saying is it holds no merit in his current status. Like, Max...
That's unfair.
I can't... Dude, you beat Max...
I give Floyd credit for beating Canelo, and we know that's not the Canelo of today.
But yeah...
He caught baby Canelo.
But you obviously...
But he still beat baby Canelo.
But Floyd was an aging guy who everybody said shouldn't fight Canelo, and then he went out there and danced all over him. That's different. Max Holloway was very early in his career, and it's obvious Max Holloway was not even close to who he is now. So with Connor,
but that was Canelo.
Yeah,
that's the exact very early in his career.
Yes,
wasn't close to where he is now. Yeah, and then he went out there and handled business against him. I don't understand how it's any different.
Here's why it's different, because Floyd has never lost, so there's nothing you can put up against Floyd to say, well, you can't. There's nothing. There's nothing there. Connor has lost since then. Max has had one of the greatest featherweight runs of all time. So in a what have you done for me lately scenario, I can see Max being higher than Connor. because, and it's only because Conor hasn't really fought, hasn't had a big notable win in several years. I can't count Cowboy, and I can't count Diaz. They're good wins, but when you when you're slicing atoms when you're doing these top 20 lists, because Gaethje's beat Ferguson, Yan beat Aldo, and he's been undefeated. Namajunas, Cormier, Dillashaw, no. Even Masvidal, like blitzing Ben Askren like he did, yeah, he should probably slide down because he lost to Usman, but whatever. Holloway, Volkanovski, DJ. It's hard to look at the last 3 years and see where Conor fits into that conversation. And it's
that's fair.
It could change.
His wins before then are pretty fucking impressive. Poirier, Holloway, prime Jose Aldo, Eddie Alvarez, when it's like one fight you jump up and you blitz a guy who is champion, who beat Justin Gaethje, and he was still who he was. It's not like he was, you know, shot before he fought Conor. Conor has four really, really good wins where it's hard to say, you know, Masvidal has four wins of that caliber. Dillashaw has four wins of that caliber. Rose Namajunas has four wins of that caliber. Gaethje has four wins of that caliber. No. Tony Ferguson is his best, and we were like, oh, who has Tony fought? We knew the hell Aldo fought. Aldo hadn't lost in forever, and Conor starched him.
No.
So, I mean, it's a lot of people don't have wins like that.
I get that, but this is EA 4. If this was EA UFC 3, sure. This is EA UFC 4, where a lot of time has passed between those victories. And that's why I think Conor's getting knocked. And I know he would be upset about it, but if Conor just goes out there and beats somebody in the top 10,
yeah,
then yeah, we can revisit this conversation. But like I said, I don't know who Conor is anymore. I'm not saying he's worse. It's just he hasn't fought a significant opponent like the rest of these guys have.
Yeah. I mean, he handled business against Cerrone. The only thing you can ask of him, I mean, for whatever reason, we saw Cerrone be at least competitive in other fights around the Conor fight. True?
I mean,
he went in there and starched him.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
So that's all you can add. He's waiting for a title.
It's level of competition. It's college football.
And now Dana...
It's college football.
Yeah, and now Dana can't afford to pay him until there is fans. Let's just keep it funky.
Yeah. I mean, this is college football. This is the BCS. What have you done for me lately? Who have you beat? I don't care what you did last season. What are you doing now? Okay. So I'm not mad at where Conor's at on this list. I think he should be a little higher. But I can see the argument that says, well, shit, man, what are we scoring this off of? Everybody here has got a signature victory in the last 2 to 3 years. Conor does not. He's really getting rewarded for his past.
Yeah, and when health, I mean, GSP is on the list. So, past.
If GSP had lost on his way out, I could see arguing against him. But GSP beat Hendricks, took some time off, came back, and beat Michael Bisping and won the title. So, yeah. I have nothing to hold against him.
No, yeah, I'm not mad at that. I'm just saying, like, that wasn't yesterday either. You know, Demetrius Johnson is in a different promotion, granted, but his last UFC fight was also a loss to Cejudo. So, when you put that there, it's like, all right. Even though, still, I don't think he lost, but whatever. That is still a stain on his UFC record, so they're going at a point overall career. So I think Conor gets bumped up a notch. If he's not in the top 10, like I have him, cool. But under Masvidal is way too crazy. Masvidal, who had a great year and a great push, but I don't even know who his best win is. Askren, and then what? I mean, you know, like
Askren, Diaz, Till. It's pretty big wins. Like he's had, again, what have you done for me lately? It's a pretty good run. It's a pretty good run. It's not a great run. I think he's a little too high. But compared to what Conor's done in the past 2 years, Masvidal's got it better. But Masvidal, again, you know, it's like, do you disqualify him for his losses previously? Everything's about momentum in MMA. Everything. Robbie Lawler.
And now that I know it's a sliding scale.
Yeah, it'll change.
I like that.
It'll change.
Yeah.
The living rosters will be updated periodically, like after every pay-per-view, they're going to, you know, revisit and guys will move up and down, which makes the game a whole lot more fun. I've always loved that about video games where the players that you play with actually are identical in some ways to who they are. Because, like, rookies in NBA 2K, like, they'll have these great ratings and it'll be bust, and then they'll go in and then they'll lower the rating. Like Markel Fultz. was a guy who had a high rating in NBA 2K, and they was like, nah, he's not that good. And they slid his ass right back down. So the same thing in MMA. If Israel loses, Paulo Costa will have a higher rating than him. I like that. I like the game changes with that.
No, that's smart. I like that, too. Let's talk about actual UFC and MMA, because we had some of that as well, not just video game stuff. They're back at the Apex in Vegas, so it was cool. I liked the small cage. I like it better than the Fight Island cage, the normal one, which makes me think, why not just put the small cage on Fight Island? Yeah. Right? Like, I mean, why not? You don't have to have the full cage. But last week, we saw the return, and it led to upset after upset after upset, to the point of we sucked at choosing these last week.
Yeah, we did.
It was horrible. So I went with Lando Venata. I think you did same.
No, Bobby Green. I went with Bobby Green. So I got that.
You went Bobby? Yeah. Smart. So you got Bobby.
And I got Vicente Luque as well.
Yeah, I thought Vicente was going to win that fight. But then in the co-main and the main, shit. We thought, oh, Joanne Calderwood, she's in line for a title fight. She doesn't have to fight. She just wants to keep busy. Turns out Jennifer Maya's not the one to keep busy against. Wrapped her ass up in an armbar, tapped her in the first round, and you got a feel for Calderwood, who's right there. But at the same time, if you can't beat Jennifer Maya, you're probably not going to beat Shevchenko.
No. But
so I can only feel so bad for you.
Yeah, it's... We said it. It's like, hey, you want to fight Shevchenko or you want to take another fight and make some money? And she was like, well, fuck it. I'm going to lose to her anyway. So if I take this fight and I win, I make some more money. If I don't, oh, well, because I'm going to get my head knocked off anyway. But I didn't expect it to go like this. Calderwood just got, I mean, quick takedown. One-way traffic. Yeah, quick takedown, a little bit of ground and pound, and then stuck in the armbar, and that was a wrap. And it's crazy because Dana White is like, oh, yeah, Jennifer Maya, next title shot. No, Cynthia Calvillo's in the division. Like, what are we doing? I get why Dana says at press conferences, like, I shouldn't book fights directly after fights. Because we ask all the time, who's next? And he goes out, if you go off of emotion or what you just saw, then you just, like, discrediting the person who's ranked ahead of her and still is. So, Maya, I don't think she deserves a title shot. She just lost to Caitlin Chookagian as well. So, but that division's a mess. It's a rat race to see who's going to get beat up.
That's it. Shevchenko put out a video yesterday just training in her garage. And it was the scariest shit I've seen all year.
She's fighting a man. I don't want to fight her. She kicked my ass.
Nah, no. Yeah, I'm not fighting Bullet. That's fucking crazy. Like, she's just a different animal. She, and I'm not sure if anyone in that division is ready for her. Still, like, the division's supposed to catch up to people. I just don't see it happening.
It'll eventually happen. It's just not anytime soon.
Yeah, not right now. Someone's really going to have to test her on the ground. And I don't see how anyone gets close enough right now to even attempt to take her down. So then in the main event, it was a showcase, let's just be real, for Edmund Shahbazyan. And Derek Brunson said, you thought? And Brunson came out and really showed that grown-ass man strength. That it was just all veteran savvy, and Edmund got taken to a place he hadn't been, and he had to work from a point of, you know, being down and kind of being outsmarted, and he just couldn't change the game plan. And Brunson worked him, getting the KO in the third round.
This Derek Brunson is the epitome of gatekeeper. And I don't mean this in a negative way whatsoever. Because now he's the true litmus test. If you can't beat him, you ain't going to fight for the title. And he's had some good victories. And then he's had some devastating losses. Like, he is literally standing in front of the gate and was like, hey, you want in? All right, let's see what's up. And then he either kicks your ass or you knock his head off. Adesanya, he was gatekeeping. Adesanya beat his ass and people were like, all right, he's for real. Edmund wasn't ready. Maybe ready at a later date. But Brunson smothered him, took him into deep water, drowned his ass. Wasn't ready for that. His Edmund had just been steamrolling the competition. And I know I predicted a quick knockout. Brunson wasn't having that shit. So good for him. I don't know where Brunson goes from here. You know, I know he's angling for another title shot. Well, not another title shot. A title shot.
Title shot, yeah.
But
he got worked by the champions. So you got
a long way.
There's levels to this shit.
Go fight Yoel Romero.
Yeah. I mean, you look at it, and we just saw Robert Whittaker put in a great win 2 weeks ago, even though I didn't have him winning. Yeah, and then now he's turning around, and he's angling to get a title shot again. That fight was just signed, right? Whittaker versus... Oh, shit. I know I'm going to kick myself to see who he's fighting next. But it's a relative number one contenders match.
I'm going to let you... Come on. Think about it. Who's been on the roll? Who said some crazy shit on Twitter recently? That should be a big hint.
Really? A lot of people say some crazy shit on Twitter.
No, they had his tweets pulled up. Jared Cannonier.
Oh, Cannonier. Oh, yeah. He went off the deep. That was like some conspiracy shit. See theory shit. Like, no, he went like super Hotep. Yeah, he's a wild boy right now. Nah, yeah, I forgot about that.
That's a hell of a fight, though.
Oh, that's going to be a great fight.
So
Cannonier is weird because he's just so much bigger. The weight loss and fluctuation between divisions is crazy.
Yeah.
And then now he's just so much bigger and stronger than ever.
Yeah, like middleweight is it's an interesting division. Whittaker, Costa, Cannonier, Jack Hermanson, who went out there and just submitted Kelvin Gastelum super quick. Darren Till still there. Derek Brunson. Yeah, this is a pretty good division.
Everyone's built so differently.
I know.
Like, middleweight's so weird because like, you look at a guy like Borachina and you're like, he's not a heavyweight? But then you have guys like Gastelum who just phased out of the weight class underneath them.
Yeah, it's just too big for it.
Of welterweight. Like, so you have some guys who look like legit welterweights who just phased out. Like, you know what? I want to fight at natural weight. Then you guys have guys like Till and Borachina who could be heavyweights in a blink. So that shit's crazy. It's such a weird division. And then Adesanya just long and gangly as your champion. So everyone's so different in that division. That's what makes for, you know, great matchups, you know, for the next year and further. It's going to be fun to watch. And let's go to this weekend's card and make predictions, you know, a little bit better than we did last week. Main card headlined by Derek Lewis and Alexei Oleinik this week. But there's some good fights underneath that, including Dariush is fighting.
Yep.
Scott Holtzman, I like that fight a lot. And I think Dariush gets the win here. And he's a guy that, again, not a gatekeeper, but he always gets so close. And then something fucks him up. And then he has to earn it all over again.
Yeah, I mean, Dariush is on a nice winning streak. You know, since, what did he do? I think he was like lost two in a row, something like that. But he's always a good fighter. He's not a gatekeeper per se. But I think this will be a good fight against Holtzman. But yeah, I'm picking Dariush.
Yeah, Dariush is on a 4-fight winning streak. And before then, lost to Alexander Hernandez. Like, got knocked out. And you're like, yo, Dariush, that's a fight you should win. Before then, got knocked out by Edison Barboza.
Yeah, like Dariush, I mean, well, the Alex Hernandez loss was because a lot of people thought Alex Hernandez was on the rise. And then Alex Hernandez ran into Cowboy, and Cowboy was like, no.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's Dariush, like, again, Dariush is one of those guys who looks like he has the goods and he can go on a run at any time. So we'll see if it starts here. Well, if it continues here.
Yep, and then next one, Kuniskaya is fighting, which, cool. I don't know what bantamweight is looking like, to be honest. The women's divisions at the top are very weird to me right now.
Well.
Because you need new blood, but I'm not sure if anyone's really working themselves into those positions.
Yeah, it's, I mean, this isn't to see who's going to be the number one contender, so it's just kind of moving.
No, by no means, but it's just one of those people, like, where you look at Kuniskaya and it's just like, you need a new challenge.
Yeah. And Storylenko is a woman who's been on the run in the Invicta. It's her UFC debut. I think she's like submitted like five or six, last six opponents. So it could be a fun fight. Kuniskaya is going to want to keep it standing. I'm going to go with a newcomer, though. I think we need some new blood in this division. And, you know, Kuniskaya had lost to Aspen Ladd, I believe. And, yeah, she can kind of move on. So let's see somebody new. See what happens.
That's always the key. We just need new blood in that division. Because Amanda, I don't know who she fights there. Because Megan Megan Anderson, I think that's a good matchup for 145, right? You have these other matchups that could happen at 145, and that's kind of cool. I think that's where Amanda kind of lives for now. But sooner or later, she got to defend the 135-pound title.
She will. She'll defend it about against somebody that she's going to destroy. It's going
to... Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's like, who's the best at 135 outside of her? Duran?
They will probably have an interim title. Really? I'm saying this now. Because Nunez is going to take a break because that baby's coming.
Yeah, maternity leave.
So if she's taking a break, they're going to have to find somebody who can be the number one contender and build them up by putting a fake belt on them. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, okay. I guess Duran is the next best. It's tough. Holly Holmes floating around still.
Yeah.
It's such a weird division. There's no new blood, though. And then the next fight, what we have, Patolo versus Darren Stewart. All right. I mean, I just want to see a stoppage. And this is one of those, like, this is, it sounds shitty, but this is my family feud method, where it's like, I don't really care about either team, so I just got to root for the black team. let's be real. This is what you do when you watch Family Feud. True. Like, I don't fucking know these two people. I got to root for the black team. So, Darren Stewart gets my vote.
Yeah, and then just don't go out there and embarrass us. That is always my
vote. That's it. That's it. Like, it's like, I don't care personally either way. So, yeah, I got to root for the black team.
So
co-main, Chris Weidman. A lot of shit has changed. Chris Weidman has one of the most interesting careers in MMA, and I think history, because his highs are so high, and then it went so low so fast.
Yeah.
But only because that level of competition, like, he couldn't stay at that level of competition. But he was like the golden boy after Silva.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm gonna pick him to win, but only because I want to see him have another run.
I'm not. I think it's over for Chris Weidman. He's
36 is old.
I think it's old. I mean, he's lost 5 of his last 6. All Damn. By stoppage. All by stoppage.
It's a lot of damage.
The man was 13-0 before that. Beat Anderson Silva, Lyoto Machida when he was champion, and then he knocked out Vitor Belfort. And we started talking about, hey man, is Chris Weidman the greatest middleweight of all time? And then he ran into Luke Rockhold. And then he got kicked, kneed in the face by Romero. Then he got kneed by Musasi. Then he beat Kelvin Gastelum with an arm triangle. Then he got knocked out by Jacare. Then he got knocked out by Reyes in a light heavyweight fight. Omari Akhmedov is not somebody you want to mess with. Omari's got hands.
Yeah.
Chris Weidman's losing this fight. And it's...
They do him no favors.
It might be time to say goodbye. I mean, this has been one of the most fascinating runs in recent memory, because even Jose Aldo strung together wins even when he was falling down. Weidman losing 5 of 6 all by knockout is insane. To go for, like, that's worse than Roy Jones. Roy Jones got knocked out and was like, man, he gets knocked out every fight. But then he won a few fights. Like, he beat Jeff Lacy. I think he beat Tito Trinidad. Then he got knocked out again. Weidman has lost 5 of 6 fights all by knockout. That's nuts. It's over.
It could be done. I mean, one more run, hopefully, but I don't even see him climbing the ladder. We just talked about the middleweight division.
Nope. Mm-mm.
That shit's scary at the top.
Yeah. Nah.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a rough way to go out, man. Rough way to go out. So we'll see. Pulling for Weidman. My biggest thing is, and it's stupid, but it's one thing that I really, like, it pains me. This is how I know I'm getting old. Especially in the sport of MMA, is I hate when I see people have to retire and I love their entrance songs.
Oh, yeah, Don't Back Down, the Tom Petty.
Oh, it's so great. Like, the entrance gives you fucking goosebumps.
Yeah.
Like, so when I look at, like, Uriah Faber, I miss that entrance.
Yeah, I agree.
I miss the Ronda entrances. Like, Anderson Silva entrance, even though this last time he came out to some wild shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, just those classic entrances. I'm going to miss the DC entrance, even though it makes no sense.
Yeah.
And it's stupid and corny. But I guess Lil Wayne, he's from Louisiana. Cool. But I'm going to miss that entrance. It's, like, so synonymous with him that, honestly, these young kids, What new fighter has an iconic entrance?
Right now? Nobody yet. I figure...
No one, right?
I figure...
Adesanya does dance shit, but it's not like I relate him to a specific song.
Well, yeah, it's not like Frankie Edgar coming out to kick in the door, which is nuts.
Nope.
Bananas.
Incredible.
Jose
Aldo dropped Run This Town. That's why he got worked. He went to fucking Brazilian MMA. You deserve to lose the title shot. How dare you not come out to Run This
Town? Yeah, I'm really thinking, like, who has a significant, memorable entrance that they use for everyone? Somebody's going to say something, because I can't think of one right now.
Yeah, not one of these young kids. Like, I don't know what Masvidal comes out to. Not that he's young, but, you know, he's, like, a newer star.
Yeah, like,
I don't have
Cowboys, anything. He's old, and...
Yeah.
They all have these significant entrances. Huh.
Yeah, but I don't know anyone new that has that.
Yeah. You young guys need to figure it out, because I like entrances. I like the pageantry of fighting. So.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the best things. Who came out to Eazy-E? Or you always change it up to...
Oh, some gangster shit. That's a...
Yeah. Fuck.
Jeremy Stevens.
I can't believe
Jeremy Stevens.
Jeremy Stevens. He always has good gangster shit that he comes out to. Pac, all that stuff. But yeah, none of these young kids, they're slipping. So I'm going to miss that if Weidman gets rocked again and it's 6 out of 7. If it's 6 out of 7, you got to retire.
No, you got to go, man. You got to go.
Yeah, just go be a coach.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool.
It's a wrap.
Coach Funkmaster. And then we have main event, Derek Lewis versus Alexei Oleinik. Give me a black beast.
Yeah,
fuck it.
Give me the black.
If it goes anywhere past round 3, though, it's going to get ugly.
I mean, look, there's always the distinct possibility with Alexei Oleinik that he pulls out that goddamn Ezekiel choke.
He'll choke it, wraps him up.
But I don't think, like, this fight may absolutely suck. Because Lewis is not going to go anywhere near the ground with Oleinik. So he's going to stand there, and I don't think Oleinik's going to be very interested in engaging. Remember, Oleinik just fought and beat Fabricio Verdun. In a stinker. Right? So it's like...
Yep.
And you were... Like, he got the better of Verdum in the stand-up, which was surprising to a lot of people, but Verdum's just, like, looks completely washed until what he did just recently. Verdum, I mean, can't figure that guy out. But he's not going to engage in a striking match with Derek Lewis. And Derek Lewis is not going to the ground. This fight might be 5 rounds of trash. Or somebody's getting knocked out super early. I'm going to go with Derek Lewis, though. One way or another, he'll be a little bit more active. He won't be dumb enough to go to the ground. And if he is, he'll get submitted. But he'll win by hook or crook and stinker or thinker. Whatever the hell happens, he's going to win this fight.
He looks in good shape.
Yeah.
This is the best shape I've seen him in.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, so we'll see that. I need Derek Lewis to win because I still need the Derek Lewis versus Greg Hardy fight. I don't care. I forgot if Greg won in this fight. I need that shit. Dana knows we need that. To hell with rankings. This is the fight I need.
I mean, to hell with rankings anyway. Nobody cares.
All right, we blew through our rankings pretty quick. Hopefully, we're better this week than we were last week. You guys stay right there. Another quick break, and then we're coming back talking boxing to wrap up the show. Don't go anywhere. All right, everybody, another short break. But first, we have to let you know, sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball has finally kicked off this week, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7.
And with the return of sports, BetOnline sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and 7-time NBA champ Robert Horry. See what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember to use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
All right, as promised, just that quick, we are back. Shout out to all the sponsors, as always. Shout out to the network, Blue Wire, as well. It's time to talk boxing to wrap this up. And boxing, we've had a couple fights. It was nice to see your people at the DAZN come back. which was really cool. We'll talk about Eddie Hearn in a second. Fox is about to return this weekend. Showtime came back last weekend as well. It's cool to see everyone get going. Top Rank comes back again next week on ESPN. So boxing is really ramping up again. And we have a good slate of fights that should be coming down the pipe in the next month, month and a half. So plenty to talk about. This is kind of the last lighter week that we have. But there was a fight announcement I want to talk to you about, Dre. And that is Julio Cesar Chavez Sr. is coming back to the ring for an exhibition. Fuck it. Why not, right? If we're getting weird, let's get all the way weird.
I mean, he's fighting Jorge Arce. His kids are fighting on the card. His weirdo Chavez Jr. and Omar Chavez are both fighting. So
Chavez Jr. with the blonde
hair. Yeah, he's just been weird. But, I mean, I don't expect too much out of this. I mean, Arce is washed up as well, so this isn't Mike Tyson, Roy Jones.
No.
Where I think they both have a lot to prove. This is just two guys from Mexico, make some money, get your kids on the card, you know, call it a night. And, you know,
I'm a watch.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, I love Julio Cesar Chavez. I hated him as a kid. I despised Chavez as a kid. When he beat Meldrick Taylor, really? I was going to cry. But, yeah,
I like Chavez. But, I mean, my grandma liked all Spanish fighters, unless they were fighting a Puerto Rican. And then
with Chavez, it was like, as a kid, I've always rooted for the underdog. And I remember the first time I saw Julio Cesar Chavez's record, I said, what the fuck is this? Like how many fights? He hasn't lost. And this, somebody's got to beat him. And then, like, nobody could beat him. So, yeah, it wasn't Chavez's fault. I didn't appreciate him much later. Because then I also looked at his style, and it wasn't, like, flashy. It wasn't, like, bulldozing people like Tyson. Like, he was just methodically beating the shit out of people. And I was like, why can't anybody beat him? And he fought Meldrick Taylor. And Meldrick Taylor was super fast and skilled and Olympian. Beat his ass. Like, Meldrick was on top that whole fight. And then shit happened. Things got different. And I realized at that point, I was like, oh, I get it now. So, yeah. I appreciate
you. He didn't beat Sweet Pea, though.
No, he didn't. He didn't.
No, I've watched that fight several times all the way through. He ain't beat
Sweet Pea. No, he didn't beat Sweet Pea. And it's like, yeah, Frankie Randall ended up beating him. And the Frankie Randall fights, like, Frankie Randall's a trivia question now. Nobody talks about Frankie Randall. It should have been Sweet Pea that had that first victory. But
yep, and then De La Hoya washed him.
That wasn't even fair. I remember that fight will always be memorable to me because how much Mexicans hated Oscar for that fight.
Oh, the worst. Yo, I had to clip this not too long ago. The way he was booed heading into that arena. Yo, and it was outside. It was the old school Caesars. Yeah. And us being at multiple WrestleManias now, we know how hard it is to really get that acoustic sound, right? Like, because you're outdoors, the sound travels upwards. The boos were so loud that I can only imagine in real life they were 20 times louder.
Yeah.
That shit's crazy. Oh, the Mexicans hate. And then he came out with the split flag.
Oh, yeah. People,
half America, half Mexico. Oh, I don't know why he did. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, it's what I think about when I see, like, Ryan Garcia. It's like Oscar was the American-Mexican who, you know, both sides, like, you know, he was the golden boy, he was the pretty boy. Oscar doesn't get enough credit for fighting basically everybody. He just doesn't.
Yep.
He doesn't. And I'm not the biggest Oscar fan, but if you look at that man's resume, you're like, God damn, he fought everybody. And he didn't cherry pick opponents either. Even though the Chavez fight, a lot of people, including myself at the time, were like, ah, man, Chavez is not the same Chavez. He's just going to beat the shit out of him. For the most part, Fernando Vargas, Ike Corte, moving up to fight Bernard Hopkins, like, I mean, yeah, he beat the shit out of Turo Gotti, but Oscar,
he was gifted Sweet Pea too.
Yeah, right? Like the Shane Mosley fights. Like, Oscar didn't have to fight a lot of these fights. Like, he could have picked his spots better and had a much better record when he retired. But he didn't. He fought everybody. And I'll forever give Oscar that kind of credit because he fought everybody. But the Chavez fight was one fight, like, I remember just looking and I was just like, oh, they hate him. I was like, God, they're going to kill him if he wins.
Crazy.
And then the
cut. I always wanted to talk to Ioli about that. Like, because I remember reading something Ioli did, but I never got to talk to him in person about it, about Oscar in the Olympics.
Mm.
And, like, the controversy of him fighting for the U.S.
Yeah.
Instead of Mexico. And, like, Ioli had this crazy piece, and I read it. I was like, this is fucking amazing. So I always wanted to talk to him about, like, you know, someone who lived that era. Like, yo, what was that shit like? Like, because Oscar to me in the Spanish culture, he was larger than life at that point. He was on telenovelas.
Dude had an album.
Yo, like he was real deal, like fucking larger than life. It's the equivalent of Ryan Garcia having 7 million followers.
Yeah, he
like it just
God, they loved
crazy.
Oscar. They loved Oscar, and then they hate like
but hated Oscar. He was like at the same time.
He was the mainstream radio star, who happened to be skilled, but he was like super mainstream. Chavez didn't speak English, straight out of Mexico, Guadalajara, and here comes Oscar, and people were like, he's not a real Mexican. And that's why I've always wanted to do this piece on Canelo, because Canelo's a real Mexican from Guadalajara, poor. But that skin, the freckles, and the red hair, I know he wasn't accepted. Oscar, they just were like, oh, you traitor. That's how they felt about Oscar. But Oscar was a Mexican-American who had pride in both, whatever. But, yeah. But, yeah, Chavez Arce is a fight that I would watch. It'd be like the geriatric Olympics. I don't expect it to be entertaining at all. And but good for him. If they make some money, I'm sure it's going to do extraordinarily well in Mexico. So he like has a folk hero out there.
Oh yeah, he works at ESPN Deportes. Yeah. He always sends us good content. This shit is wild, by the way. I like going through like his segments. So yeah, I'm still here for it, man. Chavez Senior. I don't know. His fight might be better than Junior's fight.
Probably.
I have no faith in Junior at this point.
Nobody has faith in Junior. Not even Junior.
No. So. Not even Junior. Let's talk about some of the fights that actually came back. And DAZN came back last weekend. And Eddie Hearn is a real-life personification of Richie Rich.
Yeah.
So you look at that shit, and he built it in the backyard. He had pyro. How do you even get a license for pyro in your backyard? There's like rose bushes right
him
there.
Him and Drake, man. He had the Drake's house in the Tootsie Slide video. Like, I watched it recently because I marveled at his house. And then the fireworks and shit, I was like, that's a flex. So here comes Eddie Hearn. It's like, you want to do that? And just stage these fights in my backyard, and I'm going to have pyro too. That's a flex.
Yeah. I thought Bill Goldberg was coming out with all that damn pyro. That was WrestleMania quality. I was like, oh, God.
And though it was like a completely, it was a card that American audiences didn't give a shit about, egg and cheese in the main event, nobody cared in America. It was a good show. It was good fights that night.
Good that day. Fight. There was a knockout, I think, to open up the card. That was phenomenal.
Yeah. No, it was a good card. And I'm not speaking this because I work at the Zone, because trust me, I don't watch all these UK cards. Like, I watch them later, I'll speed through them to get some results or whatever. I'm never like looking at the UK cards like, yo, I need to watch this. But I watched this one because I was really intrigued by Hearn's backyard, and I was like, oh, this is a pretty good show. It's a good fight.
Yeah, man, I watched the entire thing through. It was really good. I was entertained. I was like, all right, they're putting on really good fights over there. And then now we have the slate for the rest of the month and some good fights still to come on DAZN. But one thing that jumped out to me is, and Eddie Hearn mentioned this last week, they have 4 fight cards headlined by women.
Yeah.
Which starts with the Harper Jonas, I believe, fight this Saturday or tomorrow. Yeah. It's on Friday. So by the time you guys listen to this, you'll probably be watching that fight. But I think what he's doing, and this, whether it's, you know, purposeful or not, this is great for women's boxing, which I believe is underserviced.
Oh, yeah.
There's no reason for the UFC to, at this point, have equal rules, damn near equal pay for a person like Amanda Nunes. Maybe not throughout the entire roster, right? But when you're at the top, she's making the $500,000. Plus pay-per-view buys. So it's great to see what the UFC has done, and boxing so far behind that these little steps mean a lot, showcasing women at this level. And I love what the DAZN is doing, because they have a really good roster of women.
Yeah, I mean, you have this that fight tomorrow, then you have Cecilia Brockus and Jessica McCaskill, which is great. Kind of like a makeshift tournament. The winner was supposed to fight the winner between Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano, but now Serrano's not in the fight, so it'll be Katie Taylor and Delphine Persoon, which was an excellent fight on the card of Joshua and Ruiz. And then you still have Clarissa Shields. So it's like, I mean, women's boxing, they need, I don't know how we're going to figure this out, because UFC, they kind of govern their own shit. Boxing, you got to go through sanction bodies, commissions, yada, yada, yada. This 2-minute round shit got to stop. It has to.
Yep. It's time for 3-minute rounds. It's time for 12-round title fights.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Because you point at another direct competitor in the UFC at MMA and say the women do exactly what the men do.
Yeah.
In the same cities, same countries, same, you know, athletic commissions say okay to that. There's no reason they can't say okay to women.
In boxing. It would only make sense to me if a number of women in boxing were like, nah, let's stick to too many rounds. Every woman I've ever talked to in boxing is offended and think it's an archaic model. Because, like, I talked to Clarissa Shields many times. And Clarissa says it all the time. Like, I can't knock people out because I ain't got time. I have to hurry up and try to knock you out. That extra minute means a lot. Yep. Them too many rounds. I mean, you got Michaela Meyer in the top rank. Like, 3-minute rounds, there'd be knockouts. There'd be more stoppages. You know, it's really archaic. So it's a good thing to see women's boxing, you know, coming more to the forefront. Hopefully, these rules will change soon. We need 3-minute rounds. We need title fights. We need more women main eventing. And it's just like, I mean, I hate when they say, like, oh, well, women's boxing is boring. They don't get knockouts. Add that extra minute and watch what happens. Add it. Because go ahead and take away 2 minutes from any UFC fight, male or female. It changes the fight. It changes how you strategize. It changes your cardio. It changes everything. 2-minute rounds in boxing? It's no time at all.
Yeah, could you imagine that? In women's title fights in the UFC being 3 rounds max.
In 2 minutes.
And 3-minute rounds.
Like, yeah, come on.
Could you imagine that shit? Like, you look at a fight like Joanna and just had for the title.
Yeah, Joanna and Zhang, which is a first fight of the year candidate.
Yeah, crazy. You cut that in half?
No.
In what? You cut 60% out of that? It's fucking ridiculous. But, so, no, it's time for it to change.
The argument that they've been making all these arguments for women's boxing, right? And I listen to the arguments about, you know, their brains and blah, 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 their bodies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you can't tell me you make those arguments for women, but you should make that same argument for men why you should cut down the minutes and the rounds as well.
Yep.
It's like, if you're going to say that the women can't handle it, then the men can't handle it. It's the same thing. Yes, women and men, yes, our muscles are different, our body types are different. But you mean to tell me that the men are more capable of subjecting themselves to that kind of violence and trauma? Like, they should eliminate it all, but they're not. And if they're not, make it equal. Unless the women say, I don't want to do this shit. They do. Clarissa Shields, she wants to do this shit.
Oh, she's itching to do
it. Dude, all of them. I talked to Cecilia Bruckus last week.
Yeah, I think it changes in the next year.
It has to.
Honestly.
I hope so.
I think the current climate will force the change. I think it's going to be a bigger narrative. And we're on this show. Fuck it. I mean, it's our show. Like, to be honest, 2 weeks ago, I wrote a email to, you know, the entire ESPN.com boxing team and everything else. Like, I vote now on the panel for Pound for Pound. And I put out a Pound for Pound list on Instagram, I believe. Cool-ass graphic, and people loved it. And one comment stuck out to me. This woman was like, why are there no women in your pound for pound? Or why don't you have a women's pound for pound like the UFC does?
Yeah.
And that shit, like, sat on me for, like, 2 days. Then I wrote an email to, like, everyone I could put on this fucking email. I was like, why don't we have a women's pound for pound? I was like, I understand maybe divisional rankings might be tough, but we can have a list of at least pound for pound top 10 for women. And they were like, you know what? We just never thought of it. Great idea. So we're working on one right now. It drops next week. Spoiler alert. I don't think anyone else knows this. But yeah, I had to speak up for that. Again, it's the importance of having someone in the room. We also have no women writing about boxing or in social media on the women's side. On the men's, on MMA side, we have a great social media specialist over there, Tessa, who's amazing. She has a woman's point of view on these things. You don't have it in boxing. So even me speaking up is super late, but at least I said something. It would have been done way earlier if we had a woman and a woman's voice in there. So, you know, representation matters. Having different voices in the room matters. So that's something I'm pushing for, and shout out to DAZN for making it, you know, one of their priorities as well. I think that's the next thing we got to fight for in boxing. It's like, no, these women are equal. We got to start realizing this shit, especially as men. We're idiots. It's taken us long enough. Let's treat them as equals. outside of that, I think that's pretty much the week. I mean, we have fights. There's three title fights this week. Two on Fox, the return of Fox, boxing on Fox, which looks like it's going to be a good card. The names aren't, you know, ginormous names, but I think even like the DAZN card, I think it's really good fights.
Yeah, it's good to see the sport back, and there's more to watch, and things are just going to get more busy, and more people. David Benavidez fights next week, the Brockus fight, of course, UFC 252. It's good to have combat sports back. It's good to have the NBA in the bubble back, which is insane what's going on with like guys like Michael Porter and, you know, TJ Warren, goddamn. And like, it's the cats are going nuts. Carmelo. You know who's not doing well? Major League Baseball.
At all. They didn't want a bubble, huh? Yeah. Like, all right, baseball. Listen, my Yankees are fucking killing it. I'm going to be pissed if we don't get through to the playoffs.
You're ready to be pissed.
Oh, my God. But no, like you mentioned, next week we have so much more to talk about in terms of exact boxing matches, because David Benavidez defending his title. Rolando Romero fights for our interim lightweight title. The lightweight division is stacked.
Yeah.
But this is another guy trying to get in there, into the mix. So I like that fight a lot. We also have the return of Carl Frampton. Mick Conlon fights. These are the earlier fights on ESPN. I think they'll start at 2 because it is in England. And then, as you mentioned, also next Saturday night, Cecilia Brockhaus versus McCaskill. So that's like Brakus versus McCaskill is going to be great as well. Madrimov is on that card.
Israel Madrimov. If you guys haven't watched that fight, shit.
It is a, we talk about heavy hands.
Heavy hand and the movement. Like, we talk about Lomachenko's movement. Watch Israel Madrimov. He's only 5-0, but he's 25. He's won, like, a bunch of Asian tournaments and shit. But the man's movement and counterpunching, he's going to be a problem. But we'll talk more about him next week.
Yeah, so we have great fights to break down and make predictions on next week. So, tons of boxing coming your way. The UFC's pumping out a pay-per-view next week. Daniel Cormier's final fight. So, we'll talk about where this could leave him in, you know, the line of greatest fighters of all time, what this means for him, what happens if he does win. We have tons of stuff to talk about in fighting next week. So thank you guys for tuning in to this show. Make sure you guys stay safe, stay Rona free. Shout out to the sponsors, shout out to the network, Blue Wire. Follow us on social media at Corner Podcast _ on Twitter, Corner Club for Life on Instagram, me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hill. Till next week.
Peace.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough, and the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.